Are you ready, Ananas out there, that you can't play a rookie quarterback?
Oh, boy. The rookie quarterback looked pretty good last night.
Oh, put him in bubble wrap.
Can't play him.
He's too young. He's too little out there. You can't play a rookie quarterback. It's not safe. The league is not safe. You can't do it. It can't be done.
What if he gets tackled? What if he goes down to the ground? What if Drake May gets a bruise?
What if he gets hit?
Can't play him.
Oh, the season would be over and we'd be going nowhere and you'd be in the exact same spot is what you'd be in where the team's going nowhere. That was awesome last night.
It was.
That was an awesome, awesome performance. Unless you were on the other side of some of those games for fantasy football purposes. But that was an awesome, awesome performance last night by Jaden Daniels. And the obvious, obvious place to go is if the Commanders can play him behind their crappy offensive line.
Horrible.
On their crappy team when they were in a bad spot a year ago, even worse than the Patriots. And now they go out there and they do what they did last night against the same Bengals team that the Patriots already beat. Why can't the Patriots do that with Drake May? It's a simple question.
Yeah.
It's an obvious question. We'll get to it all day long here on Jones and Keefe.
Yeah, everybody wants to yell examples right at each other. That's one of our favorite things when it comes to rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, bad teams. What do they do? Do you break them or do they pull you out of the basement? What do you do? So if Caleb Williams is getting hit around and doesn't look good for a couple of weeks, can we use the Jaden Daniels example? The guy completed every pass he threw last night, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. He also ran a touchdown in, was the team's leading rusher. And don't give me they have this great skill group. Terry McLaurin is a good player. I like Terry McLaurin. It's the corpse of Austin Ekeler, and it's a bunch of scrub receivers and tight ends.
No,
the corpse of Zach Ertz.
I was going to say, the corpse of Ekeler, the corpse of Ertz.
No, he's got
zombie walking around out there.
Guys that were good on your 2018 fantasy team, they're not great anymore. And Terry McLaurin. And also not a very good offensive line. But Jaden Daniels, who they took number 2 overall and was named the starter before, you know, the 2 days before the first game was played. And this is just his third NFL game. And he looked that good. I mean, that fourth quarter, that was a big drive because Joe Burrow had just moved them down the field. They had gotten to within 1 score, and maybe another rookie quarterback panics or something, and they fall apart, or a bad quarterback, whether they're a veteran or a rookie, they panic. And if Burrow got the ball one more time, who knows what's going to happen. But Jaden Daniels just moved him down the field, kept picking up first downs, and he was great. So if only the Patriots could have a young, talented guy like that to help turn the franchise around.
Well, and I think if you just looked at the box score, which was unreal for Jaden Daniels, 21 out of 23.
It was a rookie record for at least 20 pass attempts, the whatever it was, 91% completion percentage.
Yeah, Schefter had the tweet. It was he completed 91.3% of his passes, setting a record for the highest completion percentage by a rookie in NFL history. It also broke the mark for Dak Prescott in 2016, and it's the highest completion percentage in Washington franchise history ever.
Dak Prescott also a good rookie quarterback, if you want to use those examples.
Cowboys,
if you want to find another guy.
Cowboys with a 4th-round rookie quarterback went like 13-3 that year. They lost in the playoffs because they're the Cowboys.
Whatever, they're the Cowboys.
But they had a really good year. No, but if you just watched and looked at his stats and said, oh, he's 21-23, 254, 2 touchdowns. You saw the highlight at the end of the game with the touchdown to McLaurin, but you didn't watch the throws. It was like rolling to his right, throwing across his body on a dime,
great.
Whipping it around.
Holy smokes.
I didn't.
Did the Commanders win that game with Marcus Mariota as the quarterback?
God, no.
Okay. All right.
God, no.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
So this idea that you can't play a quarterback as a rookie and it's foolish to play a quarterback as a rookie, you're going to ruin them. You're going to stunt their development. Your team won't be any better off. Well, maybe. I'm not saying it's guarantee that you're going to be at a better spot. But Washington is 2-1. They're the same as you. You're them. They're you. They drafted 2nd.
Spider-Man
You drafted 3rd. They're Spider-Man memeing at each other. They're 2-1 and look like they have a franchise quarterback. You're 1-2. You feel like you're going in the wrong direction. And the only life raft for this team is Drake May. And Keith, you're 100% right. Washington's, it's same. They have a crummy offensive line. Jaden Daniels been sacked 9 times. Jacoby Brissett's been sacked 9 times.
I'd rather have Ramondre than Ekeler.
Fine.
Now, I'd rather have McLaurin than any of the Pats guys. But I'd rather have Hunter Henry than the corpse of Zach Ertz. Like, you can actually kind of compare it. Like, if you're drafting the two teams, it's very similar.
Just look, I would take McLaurin over anybody that the Patriots have. But it's not like it's Tua.
Didn't they have Noah Brown? Wasn't he on the team last year?
On who? On the Pats?
The Patriots. Wasn't
No.
No, he wasn't?
No.
Am I thinking of somebody else?
He was a Cowboy last year.
No, I think he was with Stroud.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. He was a Texan.
No, they had Farrell Brown.
That would have worked a lot better.
Yeah.
No, so I would take McLaurin over anybody in the Patriots skill group, but it's not Tua with Waddle and Tyreek Hill or even Burrow with Higgins and Chase, who looked awesome last night. It's not that.
Chase was there to play.
It's a middling group. Middling talented group. And the only thing that really changed with Washington this year compared to last year.
I got another one.
The quarterback.
I got another one for you.
Who?
Major difference. And it was a guy that I wanted.
Oh.
Cliff Kingsbury. Man. Greater than Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah,
friend of the show, AVP.
I'd take him over AVP.
No.
But is he great?
I like Cliff Kingsbury. And I think the reason why, I don't want him to be my head coach. He proved in college and even in the pros, not a head coach. But can he be a offensive coordinator? Look at the quarterbacks he has worked with between college and the pros and how much better those guys got. I think he can be a quarterback whisperer. Now, maybe a couple years down the line, some team's going to take another chance on him being a head coach, and that'll probably fail. But if I need somebody to get a rookie quarterback ready to play and have success and put him in a spot to win, Cliff Kingsbury or Alex Van Pelt, I don't think it's close.
So did you watch last night? What'd you think of Jaden Daniels and rookie quarterbacks in general? Is it okay to play him? Are you allowed to play him?
I don't know.
And it's not just for development.
He did get sacked twice.
It's not just for development. Washington's better.
Oh, yeah, they're 2-1 now.
They're 2-1. So it's not just about, they're playing the kid and he's getting better. It's about their team, too. And their team also being competitive in the meantime. Are you allowed to do it? Can you do? Is it okay to play a rookie quarterback in today's NFL? I've heard a lot of you can't do it. The Nana's out there. You'll get him hurt. Or just it's not the way to build a team. Well, maybe it's not. But it is the way to get a franchise quarterback. And you can find a lot of these middling, crummy quarterbacks out there. You know, Sam Darnold's doing what he's doing in Minnesota. Does anybody believe that fundamentally changes the franchise? Jaden Daniels fundamentally has an opportunity to change that franchise. It's three games, but it's looking like they're on the right track. Stroud did it. Josh Allen did it with Buffalo. You saw that last night, too.
Josh Allen
on Monday Night Football.
Josh Allen's a good player.
Like, if you swing and hit on one of these guys, your franchise changes. And so it should be okay to do it.
People like QBR, right? Because everybody was shoving QBR down our throats when Jacoby Brissett's wasn't too bad. Jacoby Brissett's even still now is, I guess, 17th. But Jaden Daniels is 7th. Like, Jaden Daniels off to a really good start to the season. He's playing really well. Plus, he has the running dynamic. He's a better runner than Drake May, but compared to Jacoby Brissett, you know, Drake May kind of looks like Jaden Daniels, right? Like, that's another element that you can add to the offense. And any little bit will help. Based on what we saw last Thursday night, any new wrinkle you can add to this offense would be a welcome addition.
617-779-7937. What'd you think if you watched last night? Can you play a rookie quarterback? Does it apply to Drake May in any way, shape, or form? It's how you get in touch here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We have a lot coming up on the program today. It's Tier Tuesday, so we'll be putting teams in their proper places at 11:20. Mark that down. We'll revisit a very lucrative Bozo touchdown parlay later on this hour. We have Tommy Curran, Tommy Tuesday, at high noon, and a Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
Quite a bit in store today.
Oh, and we're going to check in with Turk from Celtics Media Day.
That's right. Oh, yeah, Celtics Media Day. So get a little C's action, see what's going on over there. Maybe they sold the team. Maybe we'll find out who the new buyer is.
Maybe they just showed up, and Jeff Bezos was there welcoming people in.
Hey, guys.
Hello,
everybody.
I'm your new boss.
Yep.
Pleased to meet all of you. 617-779-7937, your phone number. You can text us, 37937. Lots of ways to interact with the show. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I know the Patriots weren't in the opportunity to draft Jaden Daniels, or weren't in a spot, rather, to draft Jaden Daniels. But they did win that game in Denver late in the year, Keefe. They did, have an opportunity to fall apart, tank for it, go for it, have the number two pick.
No.
As good as Jaden Daniels was last night. I like Drake May. I preferred Drake May to Jaden Daniels going into the draft.
Yep.
Is there any remorse on missing out on Jaden Daniels after that showing?
I mean, a little bit. He looks so good. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be this great NFL player for years and years to come. I mean, that was an impressive game that he had last night. He's still not the biggest guy in the world. You do wonder, with the amount of running that he does, is he going to be able to keep it up? I mean, Lamar's played a longer career than people would have given him credit for when he first showed up, and he's running for 800, 900, 1,000 yards. So I just, because we don't also know you know, if Elliott Wolf had the decision between the two guys, or if, you know, Jerod Mayo or Jonathan Robert Kraft, like if they had the decision between the two, would they have taken Daniels over May? Would they have taken May? Because that was not a unanimous spot, right? Caleb Williams was pretty unanimous one.
Yeah.
For better or worse. The other two guys was more of a coin flip. But yeah, I mean, the way the season ended last year, I wanted, and I think everybody wanted, as high a pick as possible. Let those guys make the decision and go from there. But right now, you can't even compare Drake May to anything. Like, Drake May has played one series. Like, Bo Nix has played three games. Caleb Williams has played three games. Now, Jaden Daniels just played his third game. We're still waiting to see what Drake May even looks like.
So, there are differences, as you said, in the quarterbacks. Like, Jaden Daniels, and he didn't run a ton in that game last night. I actually thought Cincinnati did a good job limiting him, quite
frankly. Still their leading rusher, because they didn't do much running.
And he ran for another touchdown. It's his third in three games. You know, their offense has really clicked, by the way. They've scored. They got limited to a lot of field goals against the Giants, which maybe hid some of the numbers. But their offense has consistently been picking up first downs and putting points on the board, drive after drive after drive. But he is a little guy, and you have to wonder if he's going to hold up physically. Some of the hits he took, if you go back and watch him in college at ASU and LSU, you know, some of the hits he took, he just gets pummeled. And so I like the chances of Drake May a little bit more surviving in the NFL. That said, the way he's whipping the ball around and doing it on the run and off platform and throwing across his body, that'll catch your eye. And I don't want to say I have buyer's remorse or any remorse over Drake May versus Jaden Daniels, but last night has to at least give you pause with how good he looked.
Oh, it does. He's
good. Again, he's doing it without a ton around him.
But that's also, I mean, you can look back on how they handled things last year, but it's a whole new regime. Like, Mayo wasn't the head coach last year. Elliott Wolf wasn't in charge of that last year. So they got who they got. It's not like, you know, if the roles were reversed and Drake May was lighting it up, Washington, and Jaden Daniels wasn't, Washington's like, oh, my God. We screwed this up. Like, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Was very obvious right from the jump. But the Patriots, where the Patriots would be burned is if J.J. McCarthy, who's out for the year anyway, or Bo Nix were nasty. If they were, like, next level and Drake May is, like, tripping over his shoes, then you're like, oh, my God, we may have miscalculated this. But Nix has improved. Nix was better week three than he was the first two. But at no point, as much as I even like him, are you like, oh, my God, they made a huge mistake.
So here's what I would say about it. What
chop back, do it to the other team.
That happened
not this last week.
Not this last week. Dub.
So here's the thing with the young rookies. Because 2 weeks ago, or I'm sorry, last week, we're like, none of them have thrown any touchdowns. They all stink. After another week, Bo Nix looked much better.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels looks like C.J. Stroud 2.0, you know, like the next rookie quarterback to come out of nowhere and put a team on his back, is what it looks like. It's early.
Wait, are you starting to think that these guys can get better while they're playing?
Well, this is what I was going to say.
They're not a finished product week one. Is that true?
The difference with the rookie is there's built-in upside throughout the course of the year where your offense can grow and get better. Whereas Jacoby Brissett, we know what he is. That's what he is. That's what he'll always be. He will never get better. It's what he's been his entire career. That's Jacoby Brissett. That's your team. There's built-in upside and growth and opportunity. And maybe it won't be linear. There will be steps back, I'm sure, along the way. But that's what it is. And it can happen quickly, which is why I would have played him week one. It's why I would play him this week against the 49ers. And I would get him in there very, very soon. So again, how would you approach it with Drake May? Does the Jaden Daniels situation apply? I know there's a lot of people already saying, oh, Washington's got better skill guys. Washington has better coaching. Jaden Daniels went to college for 5 years. He's 24 years old, whatever it is. It's not apples to apples. Fine, it's not apples to apples, but it's a rookie quarterback. And I'm okay with throwing that guy out there because, again, if you swing and hit, you're talking about a grand slam, a home run, and that's what you saw last night. The other piece to Monday Night Football,
yes,
Keith, that I think applies to Drake May in a lesser way than Jaden Daniels, or at least a less obvious way, is the guy he gets compared to over and over and over again, and it's a high-end comp, is Josh Allen.
Oof, man. So this is, in the early going, this is the thing I've been the most wrong about. Not that I thought Josh Allen was going to, you know, not be great. I just thought they really limited the skill around him. And it was, and, you know, Steph Diggs, even if Steph Diggs isn't as good as he once was, just that production, he was his most reliable receiver by far. Like, this last few years where Josh Allen has emerged from okay starting quarterback to MVP candidate, Steph Diggs was the guy getting targeted like two-thirds of the time, was scoring a million touchdowns, and was just his like safety blanket. You get rid of him, and you replace him with a rookie and Keon Coleman, who might be good. But
he had a touchdown last night,
Yeah, no, and I think Josh Allen is proving that, again, there is a gap between Mahomes and everybody else in the league right now. But Mahomes...
But he's closer to Mahomes than the number three guy.
Yes. Because Mahomes won without Tyreek Hill, didn't miss it. And it's not that Tyreek Hill isn't great, because he was putting up great numbers in Miami. But Josh Allen, I thought, was going to need a little bit more help, because he obviously hasn't broken through. He hasn't even been to a Super Bowl like Joe Burrow has. I thought the Bills were going to take a step back this year because of that, and Josh Allen won't allow it. Like, Josh Allen's just so good that he is now one of the few quarterbacks in the league that is probably receiver, line, coach-proof.
It was unbelievable last. Like, some of the plays he made, and a lot of it's on Jacksonville. They're horrendous. We'll get to them in our tiers.
Oh, my God.
At 11:20.
Like, they're the pits.
Like, none of us had Doug Peterson first coach fired.
Yeah, we might want to update. Because Daboll might have saved his job with the one win that he had over the Browns. So, Peterson, holy mackerel.
Doug Peterson is squarely in the mix to be the first coach in the NFL fired.
Trevor
and I'll tell you. Oh, he could get benched.
Sucks.
You like Mac Jones last night?
Sucks also. So, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be worried about, like, the people liking the backup.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's another big story, I think, is Trevor Lawrence. Because I kept waiting to see, like, all right, he'll eventually be good. Like, he'll eventually be good. Year one, Urban Meyer, who could be good with that? Then, he got a lot better. We're missing something there.
He's lost eight straight starts. They're 1-7 against the spread in those eight games.
Oof.
So
they didn't cover last night.
They didn't quite cover last night.
No, they didn't have it.
But I will say this. I mean, Mac Jones goes in and just looks, you know, like
Mac Jones.
He looks exactly like Mac Jones. Doesn't sense the pressure. Doesn't know what to do. Panics.
Yeah.
Fumbles.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
that division's trash.
It is, but I was going to say, Drake May didn't do that when he got in the game. May was facing a fierce pass rush. He almost turned it over on his first play.
First one, Mac Jones almost threw a pick. He did have the fumble, the whole thing. Like, he was a mess.
So anyone who says you can't count garbage time, I mean, I thought Drake May looked pretty good in garbage time. Mac Jones looked like Mac Jones.
You know, I didn't love the idea of two Monday Night Football games. Is it next week, too?
Yep, it's again.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a real bat. Tennessee and Miami.
Yikes.
And then,
is that Tim Boyle, you think?
Probably.
Tim Boyle versus Will Levis.
And the other game's decent. It's Seattle and Detroit.
All right, so I'll watch that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, I didn't think I wanted two Monday night games, but seeing the Bengals drop to 0-3, Jaden Daniels lighted up, Josh Allen looking like the MVP of the league, and then Trevor Lawrence looking like a guy that shouldn't be starting anymore. Like, just the four quarterbacks all had, like, storylines with them.
Yeah.
Like, Cincinnati, there were moments where they looked pretty good, and Burrow had a good game, but it's another loss. Like, just the something about September for Cincinnati is, I don't know how they're going to figure that out.
Well,
but they stink.
I saw Florio tweet last night, Bill is going to be in the mix in Cincinnati.
Bill could be in the mix for Jacksonville if he wanted it, but I can't imagine he would want that.
I mean,
that.
He's really slumming it if he's going to Jacksonville, and maybe Cincinnati's not much better.
He interviewed with Atlanta.
Good point. Maybe Cincinnati's not much better. That's a cheap-ass, trash organization, but he has respect for the Browns.
But if they have Burrow, and then if they end up agreeing to a deal with Chase, at least he doesn't have to worry about that. You have talent. Maybe you sort of step in there. But the Bills are one of those teams that I thought, all right, if things go south with McDermott, no. They look like a wagon right now.
No, they're going north. So, Josh Allen, you sat out the growth period, the waiting period, the maturation period, and it didn't take very long, by the way, in Buffalo. They're in the playoffs by year two with Josh Allen. So I think there's a lesson there as well, where you get that raw piece of clay, you play them, and then if you hit, it could look like that. And maybe Josh Allen is the highest possible comp. It could look like that. You could have a Jaden Daniels Washington situation right now.
You could.
If you weren't such memes about it, such nanas about it, and so terrified of your own shadow.
You can't play him.
You can't play him, or it never works with rookie quarterback. Wrong. Yeah. Huh? It's working. It's working right now in Washington. So your takeaways from Monday Night Football last night. Are there lessons to be had? Destinations for Bill Belichick. Mac Jones. There was a lot of meat on the bone for Monday Night Football last night. So we'll get to all of it again with your phone call, 617-779-7937 on a Tier Tuesday. We'll get to the NFL tiers at 11:20. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Tommy Tuesday as well. Tom Curran will join us at high noon here on WEEI.
What I've heard over the last week or so is the expectation is that he will play this year. And I think that this is part of the ramping up process to getting there. Now, I don't think they put a timeline on him yet, but like, I think it's going to come down to being able to support him properly, which they didn't show they could do on Thursday night. And then, like, him continuing the little pieces of the little steps forward that he's made over the last few weeks in practice. And, you know, a big part of it is that, like, and one thing that they're doing in practice, because they have Jacoby Brissett here who played for Alex Van Pelt, when there's the first offense out there, and it's a concept that Jacoby is comfortable with, they put Drake in there. That's where the 30% number comes from. They're giving him time to the side with T.C. McCartney, the quarterback's coach. They're doing what they can to try to get him ready to play. My expectation is he will play this year.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock on a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran will join us shortly after high noon. It's also a Tier Tuesday.
Holy smokes.
We'll be
ready for that.
Tiering off the top and bottom teams in the NFL, so stay tuned for that. A little less than an hour from now, at 11:20, there's a Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
Oh, boy.
Plus Celtics Media Day ongoing. We'll check in with Terp at some point. Jam-packed Tuesday for you here on Jones and Keefe. We'll also get to, the Bozo Touchdown Parlay, which is real hot in the streets.
How about that?
We'll do that coming up for you about 15 minutes from
all right.
now. Meanwhile, you hear Burt Breer on NBC Sports Boston the other night. We read that clip during the show yesterday, or that quote during the show, that it's going to happen. It won't be a red shirt year. He's showing progress in practice. And that's all just the Drake May track over to one side. Then the other piece is you have Jacoby Brissett and the team backsliding, embarrassed on national TV. And then the third piece is now Jaden Daniels is applying pressure to this organization. The Commanders.
Commanders.
The Washington football team.
The Washington Commanders.
The Commanders may have gotten it right by playing their guy right away. They have a bunch of bum-ass players, and they have a defensive coach, and they're a bad, lost, low-down, no-good organization, and they might have hit it big on their quarterback. And all of a sudden, you feel good if you're a Commanders fan. You feel like you're on to something if you're a Commanders fan. And if you're a Patriots fan, you have nothing. Don't tell me that doesn't matter. You can say that shouldn't matter. You can say the Crafts shouldn't cave to that, but they're human beings, and these owners can be very panicky. And I just think Jaden Daniels having the night that he has applies pressure, and in this case, I'd say good.
Yeah,
if that's what gets Drake May out there, an example in real time of a rookie on a so-so, actually, scratch that, bad.
No, they stink.
Football team.
Yeah, they stink.
Putting the team on his back and carrying him, that's the hope. That's the only hope this team this year has, playing Drake May, and Jaden Daniels is the comp.
Yeah, I mean, you and I agree on this. Like, we don't think the quarterback is going to be broken. Is he set up in a position to light the world on fire? No, he's not. But he's also the quarterback, which is the most important position in all of sports. So can't he elevate the play of the other guys around him? Can't he give you a better chance to win and at least be competitive? And obviously, as an aside, entertaining. Like, that's kind of for us. But for the guys on the team, just to be in there and competitive. And last night is a perfect example. Washington is not very good. They signed Marcus Mariota, basically their Jacoby Brissett, and they drafted Jaden Daniels right before the Patriots drafted Drake May. They started him right out of the chute, and look what he looked like in his third game. If Marcus Mariota was taking snaps there for them and was their quarterback for how, like, what's the point of that?
How about Brissett? How about if Brissett was, they had Brissett last year.
They
couldn't even play. They wouldn't even put him on the field over Sam Howell.
No, that is
so
true.
Like, if Washington had Brissett, what do you think they'd be doing? How do you think it would look versus the kid they had in there last night?
Yeah, it'd be gross.
Night and day, gross.
It'd be boring, and it would be bad. And the team, I think you're letting everybody else down. So even though, you know, Pop Douglas and Ramondre Stevenson and Hunter Henry aren't, you know, these all pros, they deserve to have the best guy out there to give them the best chance to win and be competitive. It is still football. Like, as much as some of these teams are horrible, like, look at the upsets every week. Look at all the stuff. Like, look at all the close games. I don't really get it. I've not really heard one compelling argument to not play Drake May at this point on this team.
Well, you might break him.
That's not compelling enough for me.
You might ruin him.
I don't agree.
I don't either. Like, if he can't play, he can't play. But I don't think throwing him out there too early is going to stunt his growth. And case in point, there's a bunch of guys. Josh Allen, you can't play him too early. He's not ready.
Yeah.
Oh, it turns out he was ready. Turns out he's just fine. He got
better every season.
Did he throw an incomplete pass last night? It was unbelievable.
I don't know.
Watching
if he did.
Josh Allen. And so
he and Daniels both probably combined for like 95% passing.
Seriously. Jacoby Brissett has taken more sacks this year than those guys threw incompletions in the games last night. So get the kid in there would be my big takeaway from Monday Night Football. Never mind Mac Jones fumbling when he got in there. Bill Belichick may be a candidate in a place like Cincinnati. And do you have any remorse over getting Drake May instead of Jaden Daniels? The Patriots played it differently at the end of the year and tanked and lost in Denver.
I also
maybe they have the number two pick and you have Jaden Daniels and not Drake May. Any remorse over that? Again, 617-779-7937.
Yes, breakthrough take that I have.
Oh, good.
Is that if you don't want to play Drake May, then you probably shouldn't have wanted to draft him. And maybe you didn't. Maybe there are some people out there that that was their stance all along, and then so be it.
They wanted Joe Alt. They wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. Those would be the
trade
names.
Down, yeah. Right? Yeah, sure. It's not as exciting as that was. But I don't see how on this team with this roster, right, like knowing what they have. Let's just forget about all the other examples of this yep. team, that team. Just the Patriots, when they were sitting there on the clock at three, if you weren't going to play them at all this year, then you shouldn't have taken him. And the reason I say that is because you want everything around him to be perfect. And I don't know if that'll ever happen. I don't know if you'll ever have an offensive line where you say, great, he's going to have all the time in the world. And receivers, they're like, oh, they're going to make their quarterback better. And an offensive coordinator who is going to dial up all the right plays. Like, you're not going to have everything. So at least be consistent and never want the quarterback until somehow everything is perfect. But if you did want the quarterback, I don't know how on earth you could say the best thing for him and the team is to watch all year. No chance. No, don't make a Pete anything. Just move on.
I wasn't going to do such a thing. I was laughing at Alex Van Pelt. Alex Van Pelt is...
He did say, let him watch.
He's a fan of the watching.
Yep, the
watcher. What he is. So look.
The watcher.
Here's what I will say, too, about Kingsbury. Who I don't think Kingsbury's...
I like Kingsbury. I know he's not an offensive guy.
I know he's not a good head coach, but he might be a good coordinator.
He's worked with all these quarterbacks.
Here's what I would say. At least Cliff Kingsbury, I think, and maybe it's just his offense, but at least he's tailor-making things to the skill set of his quarterback. Do you think Alex Van Pelt's going to do that?
I think he's going to run the ball a lot.
I think he's going to force Drake May to get in a pro-style offense and do things
unless,
that...
of course, pop on the tape Douglas says something in the locker room, then they'll force-feed him the ball.
It's true. But I don't think they're going to... You know, a lot of people are making the collegiate jokes. Like, oh, it's a collegiate offense and this and that. And that collegiate offense is now 2-1 and they look like they're onto something. I think Cliff Kingsbury is at least meeting his quarterback. And again, maybe it's just his offense, but it's a better mesh with the quarterback than Alex Van Pelt, who I don't feel like is a good mesh for Drake May. It may not be a good mesh for a lot of quarterbacks.
I also think for the team, too, and I know, understand it's more about the Drake May plan, but I think Jacoby Brissett has been a little bit worse than they expected. I know he hasn't turned it over, and that was sort of the hope. But to play three games in 2024 and have one touchdown pass,
not great.
That's kind of insane. He's 32nd in the league in touchdown passes. Everyone's like, oh, his QBR is this and this and that and the other thing and no fumbles. He has one touchdown pass. I know passing touchdowns are down across the NFL over the last couple of years or whatever, but you're not going to win many games where you can't throw it in the end zone.
No.
And that's what they got right now with Jacoby Brissett.
And again, the one touchdown with Brissett, that's kind of what he does. He throws not one every three games, but he throws about one a game when he plays. These rookies
Take one a game at this point.
No, me too. These rookies are going to get better. And you've seen that with Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. It may not be linear. They may take steps back. But you would see the same thing, too, with Drake May if you ever put him in there. Our NFL Talk on WEEI is brought to you by T-Mobile. You can head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. Let's get to your phone calls here. Jonathan and Randolph, start us off today.
So I'm confused from last night. I thought the only way to turn around a team was to have a solid institutional culture that was strong and could support a quarterback. That you couldn't draft a quarterback high and then turn things around because – you know, obviously Trevor Lawrence is terrible, so it means it must always fail, right? I'm confused. Yeah,
they all suck. You can't play any of them. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, no, there's also this growing commentary of, well, you want the Baker Mayfields, you want the Sam Darnolds, you want the Justin Fieldses. Like, those are the quarterbacks you want, which I would say, all right, like, those guys.
I would have taken any of those guys, but they weren't. I mean, I would have taken Baker Mayfield. I would have taken Justin Fields, but they didn't go get those guys.
Those guys are bridge quarterbacks that I don't think fundamentally changes much for your organization. Jaden Daniels can fundamentally change things for your organization. So there is a lower hit rate with quarterbacks. Although, you swing and miss on tackles and wide receivers and linebackers and edge rushers and everything. You swing and miss on everything in the draft. So no matter who you take high, there's misses left and right all over the draft. But we focus on the quarterbacks more. Whatever, fine. It's a low hit rate. I acknowledge that. But when it hits, it outweighs everything else. Whereas if you hit on, again, Baker Mayfield, that's nice. You're a Jared Goff, you're a nice little team.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you? Are you a Super Bowl contender? Are you a team that can realistically win a championship? I would say no. If you hit on C.J. Stroud, if you hit on Jaden Daniels, I think that changes your ceiling, and that's why that swing is worth taking.
Also, I think the people are using Baker Mayfield for the wrong, like the wrong side of the argument, because Baker Mayfield was actually really good as a rookie. He got thrown in right away, threw a bunch of touchdown passes.
Yeah, he played week three, I think.
Yeah, and what happened with him was they changed the head coach and the coordinator like every year for the first bunch of years, and then they're like, oh my God, Deshaun Watson's available. What a great person and player he is. And they traded everything and they gave Watson all this money. If they had just stuck with Mayfield the whole time, I think they'd be in a better spot.
Well, and you make a good point, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but Baker Mayfield is like Mac Jones in the example where
his rookie year.
He really had a good rookie year. Yeah. You didn't break him by playing him too early.
But if they stuck by him, and if he was there for the whole Stefanski part of it, and because you saw what Baker Mayfield was able to do in Tampa on his, what, third, fourth team, like, so that was still in him, right? Like, the Cleveland Browns didn't break him. He actually got off to a really good start. He has one of the better rookie seasons, and you got to look at, you know, the Patriots here, and I know this is year one for Drake May, they've had four offensive coordinators in the last 4 years. So now you also got to look at yourself. Like, what are you doing? Are you putting the quarterback in the best, or are you turning into a Jets? Are you turning into a Browns? Because that's a big part of it. There's just no continuity. There's new playbooks for these guys. That's going to make it pretty difficult.
617-779-7937. What are your takeaways from Monday Night Football? Josh Allen is a high-end comp for Drake May. He looked pretty good. Jaden Daniels is a rookie quarterback. It looks now like Washington overnight feels legit and feels like they're on to something. You could be that team, too, if you just played your quarterback. What's it going to look like against San Francisco to bench Jacoby Brissett and get Drake May in there? We can get to that. And it turns out, Keith, the Bozo touchdown parlay feeds families.
Wow.
That's what it turns out. We'll get to that with your phone calls next. You want to do the Bozo touchdown parlay?
Let's do a Bozo touchdown parlay. Let me start. I'm going to go with a Lamar Jackson anytime touchdown.
Now Jackson will kick it left side again. Racing to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
You have to wait for Monday night for mine. One of those doubleheaders. I have Zach Moss.
And they're going to hand Moss. We'll walk it in for the touchdown.
But I want a Amon Ross St. Brown touchdown.
Goff is looking, throwing, catch made.
Give me an Adam Thielen anytime. Wow.
I mean, that's hands down the boldest.
Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen.
And then Terps going Chris Godwin.
And they go the other way to the corner. There is touchdown Godwin.
$10 gets you $1,018.98.
Can you believe it?
Wow.
Wow is right.
Wow.
It was week three of the NFL season, but it was only week two of us doing the Bozo touchdown parlay. Because I talked about this idea that we stole, admittedly, from somebody on Instagram, but me and a few of my buddies are doing a parlay every week where one guy, whoever like the loser, whoever the biggest bozo is, has to pay the money, but we all make a pick, and then we see what it is. And so we're like, all right, let's do that with the show, but just make it touchdowns. And week two, we stumble into, depending on where you went, I saw some people cashing out, or not cashing out, but winning just over 1,000. Some people winning $1,200.
Yeah, I saw various screenshots as well, yeah.
So a lot of people were riding with these picks, and they were rewarded.
They were rewarded handsomely.
Incredible.
Maybe you cashed out, and you still made a nice little payday.
$550. Listen, I wasn't opposed to people cashing out. I know you, I think, called it a coward's play.
I did.
But $550, nothing to sneeze at.
No, nothing to sneeze at all, which might be. Maybe there's a good, maybe we should have a Monday night. We should save that Monday night in retrospect.
And if you weren't watching the Bengals game last night or staying up to the very end of it.
Oh,
that was insane. He scored with like 10 seconds left or whatever it was.
Okay.
And listen, it was a pass interference in the end zone, which got them the ball on the 1 yard line.
Okay. And on first down, they threw it.
Oh, they threw it to T. Higgins, right?
And Zach Moss wasn't in the game. So if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, So. We argued all day yesterday about this. Keith hit his touchdown pick, Lamar Jackson, right away. You heard it in the montage. Nick hit on Thielen, who immediately just died on the field and got hurt.
but he went out people their money.
He went out winning you a bunch of cash.
Thank you, Adam.
Billy Lanny with Amon Ross St. Brown, the sun god.
Yep.
And Terp had
Godwin. Chris Godwin in
Chris
like a
Godwin.
Sleepy, like only touchdown in the game for the Bucs game.
Hitting leadoff, you know, base knock, got us on base.
Awesome.
But it all came down to Zach Moss last night. And if you're watching, I mean, the Bengals are trailing, so that's a bad game script. They're not going to run.
No.
It's Zach Moss, for God's sakes. He splits the work already with Chase Brown.
He's already at his 10 carries. He gets 10 carries a game.
That's it.
We looked up.
That's all he gets.
He was already at his quota.
And so you're watching, and it's like Jaden Daniels is just, he's marching down the field. He's bleeding clock, bleeding clock. They throw it to Terry McLaurin in the end zone. Now it's the Washington is down two scores. They're going to have to throw their whole way down the field. There's no chance Zach Moss is going to score.
This ain't going to happen.
Okay? They get down there. It's pass interference in the end zone, as Keith just said, on a shot play to...
I think it was Higgins or no?
No, it was Yoshivas.
Oh, yeah, who had a touchdown earlier.
He did.
Yep.
Okay? On first down, they throw it to Higgins in the end zone. Chase Brown is in the shotgun. I'm like, run it!
Get him out of
there! I'm like, there's a flag in the end zone. Yeah. Run it on the next play. I'm like, please, God. And then it's Chase Brown next to Joe Burrow. I'm like, come on. Like, Chase Brown is going to run it in with 40 seconds left. And on the next play, after they took a shot to the end zone, down two scores, they hand it off to Zach Moss. 40 seconds left. We cash in the Bozo touchdown.
Some would say it was garbage time on the field, but it was winning time off.
Oh, my God. What a thrill.
What a feeling.
What a ride. And I had already chalked it up. If you guys were following in the show doc last night, I tend to update that. You know, during some of these games, I'm updating and I'm like, not my night. And my God, was it not my night, Keith? I got blitzed in fantasy by Josh Allen.
Yeah, that was a tough guy to go against.
I also,
for sure,
I also had Jaden Daniels on my bench.
Oh, good spot.
So I'm watching Jaden Daniels light it up. I'm like, oh, cool. Jaden Daniels
is
awesome.
Who'd you play over Jaden Daniels?
Jared Goff.
Nice.
Don't worry about it. He threw a touchdown to Amon Ross St. Brown. And so I went with Jared Goff. I benched Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is shredding me a new one. Never mind, I was also going against Keon Coleman, who also caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then I could see it coming. I lost a parlay, alt line, Jaden Daniels rushing the line, 40 yards. I lost it on the kneel down at the end of the game, and I could see it coming. I lost a parlay on the stupid kneel down at the end.
Oh, brutal.
But the Bozo touchdown?
The Bozo won.
Bozo parlay cashed.
Is it Herviv?
Herviv,
is that who that is?
Herviv.
You're a moron.
What'd he say?
He goes, one hit, even the sun shines on a dog's ass someday. Bet on these guys every week for the rest of the year and give us that total.
Hey, moron.
It was a $10 bet. You could literally, and then, oh, so somebody also points out, I don't think I can read your name, sir, but somebody points out, $10 bet, the next 6 years would be covered. Seriously, you could bet $10 every, you could lose the rest of the season and still be up a grand.
Oh, I didn't think it would hit, and I told him to cash
out. Oh, then I had some other moron on Twitter being like, guys, parlays never win. You can't bet parlays.
Was that the guy who sent us, like, literature? He sent, like, actual, like, research of, like, why you don't bet parlays.
Correct.
Oh,
call the hotline.
Yeah. Take your research, crumple it up, and go sit on it.
I'm like, I don't know.
I was talking to Shine this morning. Apparently, he's been doing this bet with his friends for, like, the last 2 years. They've never hit one. It took us 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Parlay.
I mean, we'll never hit one again. But tune in next week.
Okay, but
Dr. Dave 29 in the Twitch chat, I won $1,215.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of people too, because depending on what app you're using, they'll throw you like a free bet or like, you know, the no sweat bets
and all that kind of stuff. I think most of the screenshots I saw, people were just tossing a bonus bet on it.
You might have spent $10.
You might have spent $0.
You might have spent $0 and now you're up. You've profited.
Well, it was a sunken $10, but yeah.
You're just walking around with an extra $1,200 in your pocket today?
Let me tell you.
Don't ever bet the parlays. These guys are morons.
Oh, yeah.
Says the guy who doesn't have two PlayStation 5s.
Yeah. Now you're sticking them right next to each other. People walking down. Oh, my God. What do you got there? I don't know. Two PS5s?
Well.
In your face.
Well, I have two PS5s. You have.
Of one.
Well, you get cash out Keith. You only get the one PS5.
I already owned one.
So, no, but to the gentleman, Herviv, is that who it was?
He's a moron.
First of all.
Yeah, cry. Yeah, he's sad about it.
But second, if we hit again, what will you say? If we hit again, like if you want to say only
if
the
we
sun-
hit again, I'll never work another day of my life.
I will walk into Ken's office, pull my pants down and moon him. That's what will happen.
And we win again. I mean, yeah, the odds are stacked against us, but
yeah,
I mean, you don't know unless you play. It's not like we're asking for an arm and a leg here or even like you're not sacrificing an arm and a leg. It's one ham. You're out one ham. That's like two iced coffees in this day and age.
One simple. What are you getting in your iced coffee? What size iced coffee?
I get the biggest one to say half. Whatever they have.
Okay.
You know what I did today?
What's that?
I got a cold brew with a couple of little pumpkin squirts in here.
Oh, nice.
Cold brew pumpkin.
Let me tell you.
I am a pumpkin bee.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. You're going to be running through that wall here. Pretty
I'm going to run right through that window.
We have a friend who moved from Oregon, good friend of Kat's from college.
Quack, quack,
she comes out. She goes, I don't really get the fascination with Dunkin' Donuts. She goes, I don't get it. I go, what are you talking about?
I don't really understand this.
West Coast. Snobbery.
Yeah, got it.
And so a friend of mine suggested, why don't you try a iced coffee, pumpkin shot. Try a iced coffee with pumpkin shot.
And then
come talk to me about Dunkin' Donuts. And she said, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I'm on board.
Yeah. Get the pumpkin donuts, too, while you're at it.
That's all it took.
I got a ton of the munchkins the other day. 25 just pumpkin. Kids had a couple of them. I ate the rest of them.
They go down so easy.
Oh my God. I took all the pumpkin donuts. They give me a muffin. Yeah, they're not upset.
Oh, pumpkin muffin's good.
Yeah, if they don't have donuts, they'll just toss a muffin in the bag. And I feel like I made out on that.
That's
a win.
Imagine how many munchkins you could buy with this.
Oh, my God.
With this 1,200? Puzzle touchdown parlay hit.
1,200.
So many more.
Fill my bathtub up with munchkins. Roll around in it. My wife's like, didn't you say you won $1,200? Like, yeah, it's all munchkins now.
Yeah. It's all munchkins.
It's all munchkins. Get in here. But yeah, by the way, you're welcome. Oh, and I got a shout out to my buddy Goo, who pointed out in less than 1 month, the Jones and Keefe show has outscooped the hockey world.
Yep.
Won their audience $1,200.
Yep.
Figured out what to do with a hornet's nest. Warned people about fried ranch.
Yeah.
Had snuffy theories.
Yep.
And is the first show to be in soft fourth dimension.
Yeah.
Which is what a listener said.
Yeah.
That's 1 month in.
That's 1 month. You're welcome.
Sky is truly the limit.
You're welcome. That's right. Is what I would say to everybody.
We've already
out there.
Touched the sun.
Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
So, morons, make sure you're listening to the Bozo Touchdown Parlay every Friday.
Seriously.
On Jones and
Only
Keith.
If you want money. You might be one of these people that doesn't want money.
Yeah.
Maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, I don't really care about this. I have the exact amount of money I need.
I'm afraid to make money. I'm afraid to play rookie quarterbacks, and I'm afraid to make money.
It's the same people.
Yeah.
You're doing a Venn diagram.
Same overlap.
Same people.
So maybe ignore our Survivor picks. Because we did Survivor Pool 2.0 is over.
That's kind of on me. I picked the Bengals twice.
1.0 ended after 2 weeks. Yeah. 2.0 ended last night.
Well, congrats to you. So Nick won the first one. Jones won the second
one. We now have two champions of the Survivor Pool.
Wait
here at
3.0 this Friday. Survivor Pool 3.0, where I will also take the Cincinnati Bengals.
So maybe ignore those.
Yeah, no, don't
take
those.
But make sure you're paying attention to the Bozo Touchdown Parlay every Friday on Jones.
Hell yeah.
617-779-7937. Oh, lots of questions on the text line. Did I not give the time? 1045. 1045.
Oh, 1045 on Friday?
Yes.
All right.
I think.
Maybe it's a floating time. You have to listen to the whole show.
Yeah, it's a good point. Depending on Patriots' guess, it might float
around.
That's
true. Very true.
Yeah, TBD. But 10:45-ish. We'll get to Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the NFL teams. Where do we rank them? Some highly ranked teams, some lowly ranked teams. Where do the Patriots fit in? I think you can guess.
Low.
We'll do that at 11:20. It's Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran, shortly after high noon. And a key for madness at 12:45. Stay tuned for all of it.